time, rather than introduce every speaker, if you could just follow on from each other. So if you could give a warm welcome for the first speakers, which are Hannah Umlach and Roxanne Anderson.
Installment of the Close to the Future conference in the science session in the morning. I'm very pleased to be back. When we had this idea of a session about science meets art, we thought, well, we need to have both having a conversation, really. And we had this idea of having a conversation, and then we never really had time to practice or work out, so it's going to be an improvisation about science meets art today. So I'm very, very happy to be sharing the stage with Hannah, and I'll let Hannah introduce herself for now. Thank you.
Is this okay? Okay, well, I'll just maybe introduce myself, and then I will say briefly what we're going to try and cover in our impromptu conversation. So my name's Hannah Umlach. I'm a visual artist. I'm currently based in Glasgow. I work at Glasgow Sculpture Studios, and I was one of the first artists in residence in the project. I started my residency with Close to the Future in spring 2017, and I spent 18 months learning about the Flow Country and making a series of sculptural and film photographic works in response to peatland ecology and peatland restoration. So I suppose what we're really interested in terms of our conversation is thinking about artists working with peatland scientists, and what are some of the benefits to both, and what are some of the kind of specific learning and outputs generated through these Close to the Future artistic commissions. And as we've seen this morning, the Flow Country and the Field Centre have become this hub for scientific and innovation in environmental conservation. And what we talked about quite early on, we had an interesting workshop in the Flow Country, was can the Flow Country also become a site for cultural and creative innovation, as well as being the site for scientific and environmental activities? So that's kind of the aim behind these commissions, and I'll talk about my work in the Flow Country, but also try and touch on some of the other artists who've worked.
So I think from a scientific perspective, I'm used to hosting students. I'm used to hosting students to visit for a range of times. So they might be coming for a short internship and for a long internship. So I think maybe from an artistic perspective, this experience can be quite different. And I'd really like maybe to, if you can tell everybody a little bit more about your experience as a longer term artist in residence, and what that meant for your creative process.
Great. Well, I think the Close to the Future project was unusual for me as an artist, because there was this scope that I could work for a longer period of time and really be immersed in the Flow Country and learn about the peatland research that was taking place. I included some images from accompanying some of the wardens and volunteers and scientists from ERI and from James Hutton on their field work, and that immersive experience of field work was probably the most influential part of my residency experience. So I had the opportunity to don a dry suit and go into the loch. I was there to see some of the surveying of kind of wildlife beginning to come into some of those recently restored areas. And I also went around the Flux Tower sites and was really interested in the scientific instrumentation used to monitor and better understand the different peatland at different stages of restoration. These are some of my favourite instruments. So the scientific instrumentation really interested me, the processes and the methods used by scientists to better understand and conserve this habitat became like source material for some of the sculptures I would go on to make. So I suppose what I'm interested that you've worked with so many different artists and that they all have a very different approach. Has there been any particularly memorable interactions or experiences that you've had working with artists on the project?
I think, you know, I mentioned this morning that working with the sound artist was quite an interesting one for me, because that was the first time that somebody was asking me if my data should sound like that. So I think that for me, really working with all the artists, including Hannah and others, one of the things that I took out of that and I thought was really interesting was that it's all about perspective. And scientists bring in a perspective into the work that they do, and then artists can bring in layers of other perspectives as well that can only enrich the science as well as the art. And I think that really the process is really interesting. So some of the memorable encounters have been when, for example, artists have asked me questions that I'd never thought about. For example, why do you think this color is better than that color for a particular piece of art, or how would you describe a particular element of the piece? And finding the words and the explanation for these things was quite challenging for me, basically, to take very, very complex scientific ideas and simplify them without making them too simplistic. So keep the scientific rigor, but in language that can be understood. So finding this common language was quite challenging, but also quite interesting. And I think maybe the kind of this idea that the process, I never realized how the process was actually quite similar. And I was struck by the fact that when I was starting my interactions with artists, they were often at the same stage that my early students were. So this idea of you don't really know what to start with and you need to gather the material and you need to kind of wrap your ideas about the context. And so maybe I think if I can throw the ball back at you, Hannah, and that's my understanding was that actually there is much more similarities in the creative process and the scientific process than I maybe anticipated at first. So can you maybe give us your perspective on that?
Yes, there's definitely an iterative research process that in scientific research that really closely mirrors kind of studio art practice. And it's something that I really work through in these kind of detailed sketchbooks or research records, and these are, I have quite a few very large volumes from my time in the Flow Country, and these have become a way that I record all this kind of amazing stimuli of being in the Flow Country, record conversations, photography, sometimes I look at archival images, I correspond with scientists and they send me things that they're working on, and I gather this material together in these books, and they act as a research record, but also as a kind of communicative tool. So I can take them to all my meetings, I can show the kind of things that I've been looking at and the things that are reoccurring, patterns, structures, forms. I make sculptures, so I'm really interested in materials and how objects function and natural forms and patterns and systems within the Flow Country. And it's through this slow gathering of all this information that I then have a kind of a palette of forms or materials or shapes that I begin to distill into the sculptures that result from the process. So the sketchbooks were a really important part of this project for me, and how I got my head around some of the complex research that was happening in the Flow Country. And then from this material, I think about my art process as a kind of process of synthesis, where I'm taking different elements from all these different objects and phenomena that inspired me and distilling them to make an artwork. So in the case of this project, I was looking at the scientific instrumentation of the flux towers and also looking at peatland flora and pollen grain analysis. So I'll show some of the images of the resulting sculptures, but I was interested in making objects that referenced the kind of interesting microhabitat of peatland flora and these more man-made exploratory objects used to monitor and better understand peatland ecology. So that was kind of my process, I suppose. These are some of the research images that began to be became more and more important, and it was our conversations about sphagnum moss that influenced quite a few of the sculpture series that I created.
That's a danger. If you talk to me about sphagnum, you'll love it. You've been warned.
Yeah, so I suppose before we go on to talk about more of the outputs, I think going forwards and thinking about more projects of this type, it would be good just to ask you what you thought from the scientist's point of view were some of the most important structures to set in place to make these collaborations beneficial for the scientists as well as the artists.
I think that maybe there is a kind of a misconception that sometimes is propagated that artists can only be used by scientists as a cheap means of achieving good outreach. And my engagement with the artist and the way I've tried to engage other researchers with the artists, that actually getting the most benefits mutually is by engaging from the onset of a project and not having it as a kind of an afterthought, thinking, oh yeah, I also need to take that box of outreach at the end of my project and I need to produce something nice, so I'll just ask an artist to do the work. I think that from a scientific perspective, I was aware that maybe engaging was a better way of doing it, but I'd never really been able to do it properly. And I think that the project really enabled me to really get into this process of engaging from the onset with a number of different artists. And I've really enjoyed it, and I look forward to continuing this. And I think that this is an interesting way as well, because as a scientist, we have a way of communicating things that's perhaps not kind of adequate for a whole range of people or audiences, whereas with artists, we reach out to different audiences that may not be interested in the science, but may be interested in the aesthetic values of the art. But we can then together combine to make a message a bit more powerful. And I think from the scientific perspective, another thing that really was achieved through that project was the fact that we were able to engage a very large number of scientists in that art-science collaboration. And many of the people who have been engaged into that process maybe came in with a bit of reluctance, maybe scientists that didn't really see what the benefit would be, kind of all adopted the practice and are now kind of thinking about it when they think about how can they maybe make better outcomes of their project or have a bigger impact. So I think that this idea that we can work together, you know, even if we come from very different sectors, you know, that we can integrate our work together has become, you know, I think it's spread a bit amongst the scientists as well as the artists.
And I should say, from an artistic point of view, I find that the Flow Country and the work happening here is an incredibly rich source of inspiration for art projects. I think there's so much scope here to work with artists and to build on the commissions that have happened already. I think reaching new audiences, but also communicating in a different way. And this is something that I'm particularly interested in, the communicative power of artwork and how it can communicate environmental understanding through kind of non-verbal forms. So like with the recent exhibition at the Botanics, it was very much sensory and to do with kind of sonically and visually exploring some of those artworks inspired by peatlands. This is a way of kind of communicating a kind of tacit knowledge, encouraging pro-environmental behaviours through a sensory experience, which I think can be very powerful. And I'm actually going on to work with RSPD again, thinking about this idea of how artists can work environmental conservation in a PhD project, which is just about to start. So I've been so inspired by this opportunity to work in a conservation organisation that it's leading on to a big new opportunity and challenge. So I think I'll just go through now a few of the sculptures that I made in response to my time in the Flow Country, just to give a bit of a flavour about what resulted from that time. As I mentioned, I was particularly inspired by the flux towers, and I wanted to create a series of sculptures that would almost act like the series of instruments which are there measuring the atmospheric conditions of the peatland. This was one of the first pieces. It's inspired by the internal structures within sphagnum mosses, and this is a blown glass piece that created like a rain gauge collecting water, floating in the pool systems, as you've seen in the film. And this was made working collaboratively with some of the glass makers at Northlands Glass in Caithness. I was also really inspired by one of Roxanne's PhD students, Jasmine Sedenga. Good to have you for pronunciation. And her pollen grain analysis, looking at a different kind of chronology of plant species on the peatland going back through different climatic conditions, was amazing. When I discovered Jasmine's research and began to correspond with her about it, it really unlocked lots of different pieces that I ended up making. The first one, taking inspiration from two of these pollen grains from crowberry and common heather, which are important shrubs on the peatland, And these forms were made into a series of light-activated sculptures, so measuring the intensity of light from the flow country using this Victorian device, a Crookes radiometer. So these were some of the pieces that were temporarily installed in the film that you saw earlier. I was also interested in Jasmine's research looking at native forestry in the flow country at different points in the past, and particularly she spoke about a forest of native birch and hazel. So I made these two anemometer sculptures. So these have small folded brass components which spin in the wind, but they kind of take the form of a sapling birch and hazel tree. I wonder if you'd like to talk any more, but you know Jasmine's work much better, and maybe how you find that process of working with students and artists.
So that's a really good example, I think, of what I was talking about. A student that had never really experienced the idea of working with an artist, and who ended up having her research enriched by the process, because the question that Hannah was asking were not always the question that our supervisor were thinking about asking. So it made her think differently about the kind of information she needed to gather. And the one of the things that came out of that was that Jasmine became very interested in creating her own collection of pollen grains. So she's basically slowly started to collect pollens from all the native plants in the peatlands, and is building up this reference collection of images of the pollens. And she's done that completely off her own back, but really as a result of the interaction with you, Hannah. So I thought that was a really nice kind of the way the interaction was building up. I think, you know, the idea that we're having here is that we can really change the way people think about people through maybe the arts, and that goes all the way from the scientists who interact and the artists who kind of learn about the people. But I was interested also if maybe you can talk a little bit about how people have reacted to your sculptures, and do you think that maybe this kind of work and maybe, you know, the other work that was at the Below the Blanket exhibition really has an impact on people's perception of the bog or what we were trying to achieve?
That's a good point. Since I made this work, I made the film in July last year, I've been asked to present the work and to show the work in 23 different contexts, and quite varied contexts, which has been really interesting, and I've had interesting responses from different groups. I've shown it at events about soil at Peatland Conference. I've showed it to a group of foresters at a meeting about land use in Scotland. I've shown it in an exhibition about rewilding in London at the Botanics, and up in Thurso Library we had an exhibition. So it's really, it's travelled and it's had its own life since I made it, and particularly being able to work with a filmmaker and make a film that was of a really high quality with interesting sound design, it's really had a life that some of my other works haven't travelled so far. So that's been really interesting. And I've had really, really positive responses. Just last week I got a very heartfelt email from an elderly woman who had seen the film, who'd grown up in Strathnaver and had not been back to the flow country in some time. And it talked about her childhood growing up in the flow country and was very heartfelt about how she felt like the film was very sensory, and she remembered playing in the bog and building things in the stream from watching the film, and those kind of responses have been unexpected, but I suppose the experience of an artwork can be an emotional thing for people, so it's been very positive. I wonder if we've not got too much time. These are some images of the exhibition in Thurso, and there's a nice publication that we made that's outside that you're welcome to take, that has a bit of writing about the exhibition that Sean Fraser and I did in Thurso, which was the culmination of the first part of the commissions. And then the second large commission was the Below the Blanket project. What were your impressions of it when we met on the first night, when you were experiencing it all in the Botanics? What did you think?
I thought this was really interesting, because I was seeing it from the perspective of the person who provided the data, and my reaction was that it was extremely good. And I think this is one of the examples of the things I would really like to see continuing in the future, and that the you know, the legacy, you know, the fact that this exhibition is maybe going to continue. I know it's going to go to Glasgow now, to Sonica, and I'd really encourage people to go and see it if they have the time. But I really think that this is a good example of something that I really, really want not to disappear with the project finishing. I think this interaction with the artists has been great, and I think the common goal of making the Flow Country both a scientific and a creative hub of innovation is really, really important, and maybe the key messages of our exchange, isn't it?
Yeah.